I noticed that we might be a little little shy on people, as usual, this evening. But those of us that are here, I feel that we've been blessed and we're lucky to have the opportunity to hear our brother and our pastor speak. I know he studies, and I know that he has a desire to serve the Lord and to bring those things to our attention that's essential to our soul's welfare. And so, as he exercised him being the song leader this evening, remember that he also exercises a called servant of God to bring to us those things that's essential for the welfare of our soul. So I ask for him your prayerful and your careful attention, and for you this evening as our brother speaks to us.
Thank you, Brother Hubert. Well, the first song that I chose for the song service was the one we just sang, and I changed my mind, and I think the Lord directed me to do that, so I was glad. Betty always seems to hit it very, very directly. Tonight, the title of my sermon is What is Truth? It seems to be that there seems to be a lot of question in the hearts of the children of men, understanding what's truth, what isn't truth, and it is, I think it's something that seems to frustrate our society as a whole. Anyhow, I would like to start with in the book of John in the 18th chapter. In the movie The Passion that was produced by Mel Gibson, there was a certain passage of, they were quoting some scripture or whatever there, and as they reenacted that those scenes that we find in the book of John. I want to lay the groundwork first here. John in the 18th chapter, verses 37 and 38. Here it says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Speaking of Jesus. And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And it was a very plain and straight statement that Christ made to Pilate. And then when you find in the 38th verse, Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And he was seeking the truth. He wanted to understand. The interesting thing here, though, in the movie it said that Pilate, it shows Pilate's wife, and he's contemplating these things. And it says, how can I recognize the truth? He says it to his wife. But really, the movie kind of strayed from the scripture, because if you go in Matthew in the 27th chapter, you find that in the 19th verse, you find Pilate's wife very plainly is given the truth by way of the Spirit of God. So in Matthew, you can read in the 27th chapter in the 19th verse, it says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, which was right the same time that I read here in John in the 18th chapter, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So she was given the truth about who Christ was, in the sense that he was a just man and that he was being unjustly persecuted at this time. And she was very adamant about that, because the Spirit had warned her in a dream. And these are the things that, you know, that in our society today it escapes those who, if we came up and gave them our testimony concerning, you know, Jesus Christ, that just like Brother Hubert was saying, you know, that when he would testify, or Glenn, either one, testify that a certain thing, that the Spirit of the Lord bore witness to them and that this was the truth, they would laugh at him. And they wouldn't accept that truth. And here the Pilate and his was wanting to know and understand the truth, and the Lord revealed that truth through his wife, through the Spirit of God. The deception in the world. Let's go to Matthew in the 24th chapter. We find in the 24th verse of Matthew, and this is speaking of the end days, the days that we're living in today. It says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." False Christs and false prophets. These are the things that those people who don't exercise that desire to know the truth and allow the Spirit of God to work within them, they could be deceived. And it says that they're going to be so deceptive that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. So that would mean that those who aren't diligent in their prayers and in supplications before God and their desire to know and understand the truth and leave themselves open to the Spirit of God, they could be deceived, and they could be deceived easily, because it's going to be more prevalent in the days that we live today. We can also find this in 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. Similar words, verses 13 through 15. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, you know, I think about this, these scriptures, especially concerning Satan. What is Satan doing today? Well, how's he clouding the truth? You know, he's got advocates here that are saying that the homosexual lifestyle is fine and is not, and God won't condemn it. That is Satan turning darkness into light. I mean, that's just one example. There's plenty of others, but that's a very plain example concerning that, in the sense that they're transforming the truth or darkness into truth in our society today. And we have to be very careful and very watchful. In 2 Nephi, and this goes to what we were talking about this morning in our Sunday school class in the 12th chapter. Here in 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter, and I would like to read verse 24. You can find it on page 154. It says, "For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men," speaking of Satan, "and stir them up to" what? "To anger against that which is good." We talked about that at length in Sunday school this morning, in that article that Brother Stephen brought to our attention, how the world don't want to hear the things of God. And they don't even want to see somebody doing something that is of God. Prayer. A very simple thing. And it's to the point where they're angry and they want to put it away. And that's Satan working within them to rob them of the truth of God. Another good scripture reference that you can write down and cross-reference, I don't know if you do that, but I like doing those kind of things in my scripture because I can't remember them like Hubert does. I got to write them down. In Romans, in the first chapter, verse 24, another one of these things that it goes to what I had said earlier. Here in Romans, the first chapter, verse 24, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonored their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's, we're seeing that today. And it's transforming our society today. Many are willing to believe in a lie. Paul found that to be true and during his travels and the other ministry as they worked at the time after Christ's death and resurrection. But we can go to 2 Timothy to read a verse of scripture about that, where where it speaks to that point. Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." And what did I do? I'm reading the wrong one. Forgive me. I'm not in the fourth chapter. 3 and 4. Here we go. I think I'll go ahead and read 1 through 4. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Those are one of the things that, you know, as an individual, sometimes I have to admit and say that sometimes it's hard for me to do. You know, I do it with my people, but I wait with my friends and stuff. But a lot of times I wait for the right time, and maybe that's not right. Maybe I should be more bold in that, in that sense. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And I think about a lot of those, the things that I see in our society today where you know, you have a lot of sorcery and in different things like Harry Potter and stuff that we're teaching our children, and they're seeing all these movies that deal with witches and sorcerers and stuff. Those kinds of things that Israel was warned long time ago to avoid, because it will cause an effect to their children. They'll turn their hearts from God because they won't be able to discern the truth. And we're seeing that happening today in our society to the point now where we're seeing it. They're turning away from the truth. They're rejecting the truth of God. Justice is gone because there is no judgment. Each one of these things has to do with the title, "What is Truth?" And we're seeing it today in our justice system. Let's go to Isaiah, the 59th chapter here. Just one scripture verse I want to bring concerning this. 59 and 14 and 15. It says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." Think about that. Let's look at those two verses of Scripture. Judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. The truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So we find that where individuals go to court, that they're found. A good example would be just recently, where we had the Black Panthers. They had a group of them there. I think it was in Minnesota. They were intimidating voters going to the voting booth, and they were arrested, and they were tried, and they were convicted, and the president had his say with his attorney general, and they were let loose and free. That is a prime example of what it says here in Isaiah. That is wrong. So justice will be found in the streets. What do you think that means? That means somebody is going to take justice in their own hands. And that's wrong too, but that's where it's pushing them. Another good example here, yea, and the 15th verse, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And doesn't that happen to you in your lives? When you say, and you're with a group of people, I am not going to go, if you're a young person and you're with a bunch of your friends from school, I don't think I want to go to this movie. Well, why don't you want to go? Because, you know, it's not really a very good movie, and it has some things that I shouldn't be seeing. Oh, what do you mean by that? You know? And you become a prey. It's like when I remember when we had baby chickens in our backyard. There always seemed to be one poor little baby chick that all the other chicks, boy, man, they nail them for whatever reason it might be. But that very thing is you become prey to those Satan's devices when you try to pull away from evil. And you need to understand that that is something that is foretold, and that's going to happen, and you just have to accept it and ask God to give you the strength to deal with it. But justice is gone because there's no judgment. We have frustrated people in the United States because justice isn't being served in our country today in our court systems. There's always another Ninth Circuit court judge who will throw something out or turn something upside down on its head that is totally wrong. But they'll do it. Let's go to the next one. The tool given us of God to discern the truth. And this is the important thing. That God has given us a tool that we might be able to use if we will avail ourselves to it. And that will help us in being able to discern and to understand the truth. We can go to John in the 16th chapter. And let's go to the 13th verse. Here in the words of Christ, this is how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I know in my own life that as I do different things in my life, and if I'm getting ready to step in the wrong direction or do something that's wrong, you know, the Spirit of God tells me something in my mind and says, you know, that may not be the right thing, and then maybe even bring a scripture to my mind. Maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And that's the Spirit of truth that helps us to understand it. Now, I can choose at that point in time and say, you know, I'm going to ignore it or justify it or whatever, but it'll be to my detriment in my life, my spiritual life. And so the Spirit of God is given to those who have followed that path and have made that commitment to God through baptism and laying on the hands of the Holy Ghost and have committed their lives to Christ. And he has been faithful and given us this spirit or comforter that would lead and direct us unto all truth. In John, the 17th chapter, in the 17th verse is another statement by Christ. And this is his prayer when he was praying to his Father, and he makes his statement, sanctify them. Jesus Christ says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's the other thing that we have that will lead us and that would keep us in the path and help us to understand truth. Because the Spirit's going to say those things that God has, that whatever God speaks, he speaks. And so that word of God is, and that's what this is saying, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So as we read and avail ourselves to the word of God and become more familiar with it and exercise it in our lives, and that Spirit of God will work with us in reminding us and bringing us to the understanding of the scriptures and helping us in our lives to be able to avoid those things that come in our lives that are bound to try and separate us from God. A very worthy tool, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Okay, the next thing was we must judge the motive and intent of the words spoken by the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Nephi in the 9th chapter. here we're finding this is actually quoting Isaiah, but I'm going to read it here out of the Book of Mormon. This is the second Nephi in the ninth chapter, verses 56 through 58. It starts on page 127. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to hear from the dead, to the law and to the testimony? And if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now let me break this down for you because it can be confusing. All right, so this first part here, it says in verse 56, the prophet is saying, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders. And that was speaking of the Lord in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, that's their friends, or that's the other people there trying to influence them away from God, okay? That's what this is saying here. Those who are trying to draw them away, so, you know, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, wizards and sorcerers. Saul did that, okay? And unto wizards that peep and mutter. And then the question is asked, should not a people seek unto their God? And then we have a chiastic return to that first statement where it says, seek unto them familiar spirits. It says, for the living to hear from the dead. So what did they try to do? What did Saul try to do? He went and he thought he was speaking from somebody from the dead, right? All right. And so he was doing something that was wrong. It was Samuel. Okay. Yeah. So he was doing something that was wrong, okay? And because he was seeking other sources other than God. And so don't be confused when it says for the living to hear from the dead, that's something that we want to do. That is referring to what they were doing wrong. All right? And then it says, to the law and to the testimony, the law being the word of God and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And so that is the truth. All right? And it's saying those other things are not. It's just something that you need to know and understand that. And in our society today, you know, you have the, what is it called, the ghost whisperer or something, where she is supposed to help people cross over to the other world or whatever. And she can speak to these dead people and help them out, you know, because God doesn't know what he's doing, right? So he doesn't have a plan. They kind of stuck in limbo, right? So it's those kinds of things that the prophet is warning the children of Israel. And it's in our society today. And that warning is appropriate to us. We must judge the motive and intent of the words spoken by the word of God. And let's go to the book of Psalms in the 19th chapter. And let's go to the 7th verse here. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I think about that scripture where Nephi says, you know, he reveled in plainness, and he knew that the word of God was plain to the understanding of man if they would allow it to be so. And this is what the psalmist is saying here, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's the only thing that will bring us back into the presence of God, is relying and having faith in the word of God, which is the truth. And it says, and there is nothing, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Let's go to Nephi in the 2 Nephi in the 15th chapter, continuing that same thought process here. Verses 5 and 7. 2 Nephi 15, 5 through 7. And the words which I have written in weakness will he make strong unto them. For persuadeth them to do good. It maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth them to believe in him and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. And it speaketh harsh against sin, according to the plainness of the truth. Wherefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. I glory in plainness, I glory in truth, I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. Now, if those of our acquaintances and the people around us in our society, if they would just apply, if they would just accept that the Word of God would be, that is truth. If they just accepted that, how many things would they avoid in their life? The things that are coming upon in their society today. We find that they don't want to accept it. They turn away from it. They treat it as a fable and not the truth. Understanding the truth by the testimony. There's three testimonies. Well, there's more than three. Let's see. Two, four, there. I have like maybe five different aspects of the testimony or understanding the truth of the testimony from the different individuals. From God in Hebrews in the second... In the second chapter, in the fourth verse, it says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders. God testifies of himself, of those things that he does here on earth, that reveals to man that he is God, the Son of God. Let's go to John in the third chapter. When he's testifying of himself. In the 34th through the 36th verse, it says, For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, and for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Son of God came from the realms of heaven to be that testimony to the children of men that there is a God and that there is a heaven and that we were created by the Word of God and that we have purpose in our life and he has a desire for us in our life after this life, that we might be with him. In John, the 8th chapter, Christ says, I am one that beareth witness of myself. In the 14th chapter of John, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then we find in 3 Nephi, in the 4th chapter, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When he came to those in the Americas. So God, the Father, through signs and wonders, bears his testimony that he is God, the Son of God, bearing witness that he is of the Father, and that he speaks the words of the Father. The other ones that helps us to understand the testimony is the angels. They have a role. Let's go over in the Alma in the 16th chapter. Bearing testimony of truth. Alma in the 16th chapter and verses, let's see, 145 and 146. You can find it on page 423. It says, "Now he imparteth his word by angels unto men, yea, not only men, but women also. Now this is not all little children do have words given unto them, them many times, which confound the wise and the learned." The Lord is not restricted in revealing himself to whom he wants to reveal himself. The scriptures are plain in this. We have testimonies of it, Aidan being one of them, where the Lord works through those he chooses to help us to have that understanding of truth. Holy Ghost, the most important thing within our lives, helping us to understand the testimony and bearing truth within us. We can find that in Hebrews in the 10th chapter. I'll get over there. 10th chapter, verses 15 through 17. "Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, speaking of Jesus, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more." I can't stress enough the power and the beauty of the Holy Ghost, that when it works within your life to be able to help you to understand the things of God, to work with you in your life, to bring you to continue to bring you before God and walking in his ways. It's one of those things that continually tries to bear witness and a testimony in your life personally concerning God. One of the other things that we find that helps us with understanding the truth is faith is important for understanding the truth. We do have to exercise our faith. And that's one of the things that Brother Hubert brought out this morning in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, where it says it's impossible to please God without faith. And with faith, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's one of the things that we need to understand, that he wants to know and understand, do you truly want to know those things that you ask when you pray, when you kneel and you pray, and you're seeking something, guidance from God. His intent is, do you really want to know, or are you just, he wants to know. And you're going to need to exercise that faith, where it says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we have to be diligent in exercising our faith before God when we're seeking understanding and truth. He will reveal it. He will reveal it. I can testify of that. He's done it in my life. Interesting about that sometimes we have a preconceived way as to how he should reveal those things to us. We have to be careful that we don't be caught up into that trap. He can reveal things to us through a sermon or through a testimony or through a dream or through a conversation that we have with our brother or our sister. There was one time when I was clear up in Kotzebue, Alaska, and I get a phone call, and it was Andy. And he started talking with me, and He talked with me very straightly, and I needed it at that very time, that very moment. God moved on him when he called and talked to me. And it was something that the Lord knew I was struggling with, and he used Andy to help me with that, and that was a phone call. So it isn't, you got to be really careful that you, if you get in your mind that it has to be a preconceived way that God's going to be able to tell you that, you're going to miss it when he does give it to you. You have to be very careful with that. That you allow God to work in your life and to be open and waiting, watching and waiting in prayer, diligently seeking him. In Moroni, in the seventh chapter, you find it says, by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. I can't tell you how many times I would be, you know, I'd be praying about something and then I'd be reading scripture and boom, the Lord would reveal to me and say, there's your answer. And you feel the presence of the Spirit of God, and many times tears come to your eyes and you thank God and know that it was the direction which he gave you in your life. And you praise him for that direction. That's how he works. Again, in Moroni, in the seventh chapter, it says, for it is by faith that miracles are wrought. Without faith, there's not going to be any miracles. That's just plain and simple. As we diligently seek God with our faith, those miracles are wrought. I've seen it. I've been instrument in God's hand through the laying on of hands for anointing somebody, and they received an instant blessing in their lives, and in different things of this. God is a rewarder of those who exercise their faith. Those who have asked for the administration and those who have been called of God to minister, God uses that faith to his glory, not ours, but to God's glory as a testimony of the truth of his word. Another understanding of the truth is in Alma in the 16th chapter, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Many times there are some things that God has revealed to us. It's a known. It's a fact. And we can stand on that fact because we've experienced it. But there are many things that we trust in faith. That if God said it, it's so. I guess the good example would be that I remember when in the Book of Mormon there was different things that as I was, I had taken the Book of Mormon in faith. When I was around 16 years old, from some of the things that the missionaries had told me, but I didn't know everything about it. And there were those who would come in my life to try that faith and try to destroy that faith for one thing or another, you know, like the salamander letters or whatever, those kinds of things that tried to destroy the validity of the Book of Mormon. But I allowed my faith not to believe those things. Why? Because I knew that what God has given me, those words were true. They were true. And I could stand on them. And I had to have patience in those things. And then, sure enough, the truth was revealed. And that they were fake, like those salamander ones. But there was other things that come in your life that challenges your faith in the Word of God. And you have to stand on your faith. That the Word of God is true. You may not fully understand the Word and what may be being said or not being said when you're being challenged, but if you stand on that faith, God will reveal to you that understanding and he will bring you that peace. I will assure you, he's done it in my life and he'll do it in yours. Testimony must be confirmed. In the 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, it says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, speaking of those things that the apostle was talking to the Corinthians, that as he bore the testimony of Jesus Christ, and as they accepted and they were baptized and came into the fold, those things, all those promises and blessings came to the Corinthians. And it was those things that testified of the truth of the Word of God. And Paul was just revealing, just saying, turning it right back on their shoulders, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, in your faith, in those things that has happened to you in your lives. And I can say the same thing to you today. In 2 Timothy, in the first chapter, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And that is one of the things that Satan really uses our weakness in is trying to make us ashamed of that. Of the Word of God. and being able to testify and to be and stand up for those things of God that you know is right with those, your friends and acquaintances of the world. In Alma, in the fifth chapter, that it has been made known unto you by the testimony of his word. And that was speaking of no different than it was to the Corinthians, Paul to the Corinthians. This was the same case here we find in Alma. Whereas the word of God was spoken and delivered to them, and they accepted in faith and utilized their faith, that those Christ, the word of God, was confirmed in their lives. And then in the 16th chapter of Alma, what evidence have you that there is no God, or that Christ cometh not? When Amulek was being challenged concerning God, he turned it right around on top of them. You tell me. You try and tell me, you know. Convince me. What evidence do you have that there's no God? They don't have any. Because they can't even, the science, they can't even tell you where your soul comes from. That intelligence that's in this clay, and where it goes when you die. They have no clue. The Word of God tells you. Same thing with the animals of the world. The source of that. So you have the upper hand in those things, of the testimony being confirmed in our lives and in the world and the things that we see all around us. In the book of Psalms, we're coming to the end here of what is truth. Let me see here. There's a couple of good scripture verses that you might want to remember, or to you've read them before. And the 25th Psalm and the 5th verse. Here the psalmist it's basically a prayer, and it says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." That is something, you're putting your life in the hands of God, and you're having a true desire. You're being diligent. The psalmist was being diligent and having a desire to know the will of God and those truths that come through the Word of God. In Psalm 119, another good one. The 119th Psalms and 151st verse. "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." If you can remember, as you are in your prayers or when you're reading the scriptures of the Lord, how often does it, and I hope and pray that when you do read your scriptures, that you first say a prayer, asking the Lord that he might guide and direct you and helping you to understand those things that you read and to be able to bring them to your remembrance when you need it. That's a very important prayer that you need to pray when you sit down and you decide to read the scripture, that he would help you in that understanding. But here in the 119th verse, that's when you have that thought and prayer in your heart and you're reading the scripture, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. That Spirit will work with you and help you to understand those things and know his presence is with you when you're studying. Proverbs in the 16th chapter. It's another good one. Here in the 16th chapter in the 6th verse is, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." And that's an important thing to understand in that process of our life. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy, that there is a God who loves you, who desires for you to be cleansed and to be perfect before him. He's going to reveal his truth in those things that you may be doing wrong. And as he brings them forth and you acknowledge that, either by out of fear that you are now being separated from God because of your sins, or that you don't want to separate yourself from God, then you turn your back on evil, and God will support you in those things of good. There's two more scriptures. One is one I've used a lot of times. You can find it in Ecclesiastes, where you find that in the 12th chapter, it's right towards the end here. Very important scripture to remember. You may want to underline it and kind of note it in there. In the 13th verse, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." This is one of the things that the world does not do. They have no fear of God. It says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Not only do they fear God, they deny him. They deny his power and his authority in their lives and in his part in creating them, that they are actually were created in the image of him. They toss that all out. But it says this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The very last verse of Scripture, in the words of Christ, dealing with the truth. The 8th chapter, the 32nd verse. I think I'm going to read 31 and 32. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." A very simple statement. In Mosiah, you find that in the 3rd chapter, the workings, 9 through 10, that it made them free. It makes us free as we've accepted the word of Christ and understanding the truth. It's very important in the day that we live that we exercise our faith, that we stay in tune with the Spirit of God as it works within us, that we don't deny those things or cause that the Spirit has no work within our life, because we're not going to have peace in our life, in our heart, without it. May God bless us in that endeavor.